As we learn through the parshiyos of the Avos, we're meant to gain from observing the Maaseh Avos. We're meant to learn from their midos, get inspired by their mysterious nefesh, emulate their avodas Hashem, avada every nuance in the Maaseh Avos is worthy of focus. But maybe tonight we'll try to focus on a central theme that is stressed throughout the parshiyos of the Avos, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving nisyonis to the Avos and the Avodas Hashem. Milonu Godol me'Avram Avinu, that the Pasuk writes, Befeirush ve'Elokim Nisa es Avram, the Mishneh Avos, Ba'asor nisyonis nisnas Avram Avinu, there was clearly a tremendous Ratzon Hashem to bombard Avram Avinu with an Nisayon after an Nisayon, one bigger than the next. The other Avos are no different. Yitzchak Avinu, Yankov Avinu, never a dull moment. It seems as if they're going from Nisayon to Nisayon. In fact, Yankov Avinu, after decades of Nisayonis, 20 years in Beis Lavan, the environment of a Beis Lavan, the lack of Erlachkeit that he put up with, living with the fear of Esav, his near-death experience with Sarai Shel Esav. Yankov was literally decades long in Shver Nisyonis. Shteit Medrash Rashi brings, Bikesh Yankov Leishe B'Shalva. Yankov Avinu turns to the Eibish and says, can I have a little bit of peace and calm, a little bit of serenity? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sharply retorts back to Yankov Avinu and he says, Leidayon, Litzadikim, Mashem Asukunim, Leilam Haba, Elashem Evakshim, Leishay Bishal, Babaylam Hazet. Seems like a very sharp response from the Eibishter, Yankov Avinu, you want Shalva, you want peace and calm, that's Eilam Haba, you're an Eilam Hazet. What was so wrong with Yankov Avinu's request? I heard that Reb Chaim Shulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha, used to ask, try to imagine what type of shalva Yankov was looking for. Yankov Avinu was looking to retire to some getaway island and bake in the sun. That wasn't what Yankov Avinu had in mind when he said shalva. What Yankov Avinu wanted is he wanted a shtender with a yevomis, over a little bit of peace and quiet, to not to have constant nisyonis and constant distractions, Lavan and Esav and Sarai Shel Esav. What was so wrong with Yankov Avinu's request to have a little bit of shalva? I think the answer that Noilam HaYeshivas we understand is that the issue with Yankov Avinu's request is that it all depends how you understand the concept of nisyonis. There are those that translate the word nisayon to mean a test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us tests to gauge our capabilities, to gauge our commitment and our devotion. You have in the business world, the CEO decides he's going to give a challenge to his employees. He's trying to test them, to gauge their capabilities, to gauge their devotion, to see how valuable they are for the company. So is that what a nisayon is? Elokim Nisas Avram, he's testing Avram Avinu. He's testing Yitzchak, he's testing Yaakov. It's Shayech that the Eibush needs to test us. Is there something that the Eibush doesn't know about us that he has to go give a test to find something out? It can't be. An Nisayon can't be a test. And Yankov Avinu at that stage in his life didn't need it to be tested whether he was a tzaddik. Shteit Meforshim that the word Nisayon comes from a different root. Naisles Noises. The word nisayon means to raise a person's madrega. What a nisayon is an opportunity for growth. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yankov Avinu is, you came down to this world in Olam Hazeh to grow and to become bigger and bigger. The neshama came down over here not to be a static, not to be a static life of just coasting. A person came down here with a neshama that's meant to go higher and higher, and every nisayon is the Eibush to giving an opportunity to grow bigger and bigger. It builds spiritual endurance. It builds a person's ability to become a bigger person. Those shverikait and those distractions, is taking the Avodas Hashem to a higher level. Not stam learning, not stam davening, not stam doing mitzvahs, aber afalpi all of the distractions, afalpi all of the shverikaiten. That's an isoyin that raises a person, that makes a person a bigger yid. It raises the level of his Avodas Hashem. The Eibusha said to Yankov Avinu, you want a shem there in a yavomis, in Olam Haba you'll have that. Hayoyim la'asoysen olamocha b'kabos chorem. You came down over here to learn afal pikein, to daven afal pikein, to stay stark afal pikein. That's what this world's about, growing and growing higher and higher. There's no mokum for shalva in this welt. Olam Hazeh is one big collection of nisyonis. That's why you came down here. Someone once told me a mushal for such a Rashi. A person is a bodybuilder. He hires a personal trainer to do what he needs to do week after week, every week. He raises the bar, another 2 pounds, another 5 pounds. One day, the client walks in and says, go easy on me this week. Personal trainer looks at him and says, what'd you come here for? What are you paying me for? No pain, no gain. You came here to build. You came here to become stronger. If I don't raise the bar, if I don't make the hasogis gresser, so then what's the point? What did the neshama come down here for? Hayoyim la'asoysam. Le'dayek le'tzadikim asher mesukun le'olam haba. You want Olam Haba down here? Olam Hazeh is full of nisyonis. Often when we have nisyonis, so we go into crisis mode, we go into survival mode. Life sort of stops. Our Avodas Hashem for sure is put on hold until things stabilizes and we could have Avodas Hashem mitaych menuchas hanefesh. What Rashi is telling us is that that's a mistaken way of looking at it. Olam Hazeh is nisyonis. They'll never stop. We came down to this world to have this genus and to become bigger. It's not a crisis and we're not in survival mode. That's what Olam Hazeh is all about. Some are bigger, some are smaller, some are genus, some more apparent, less apparent. But that's what we came down here for. We came down to become bigger. And fakaret, what our amunah and this genus is that every single nesayin will make us a bigger person. Another nekuda in this genus is that sometimes we think a nisoyin is a tragedy, something huge. Rachmana litzlan, a diagnosis, Rachmana litzlan, a child struggling with Yiddishkeit, ukedoyme. Those are takin nisyonis, those are huge nisyonis. But those huge nisyonis come with the realization that they're huge nisyonis. They come with the realization that the Eibishte is putting me up to a huge task, and then that comes with an adrenaline that this is a nesoyin, and I want to stand up to the nesoyin and be matzliach. If we'd only have that same clarity, that every small nesoyin that happens every single day, every little thing that isn't perfect, every little curveball that the Eibusha sends us is a nesoyin with the same exact message. It's the same exact reason why the Eibusha is giving it to me. He's trying to build endurance and make us bigger people. All of us probably have in our mind, person wakes up in the morning, Amol. It's one of the busiest days. It's 3 days before Erev Pesach. The Eish HaShchaya wakes up with a splitting headache, 2 kids with the flu, and it's snowing outside. She either silently or verbally articulates to the Eibush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the plan? The plan is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling you you're bigger than you thought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating an environment where you can become bigger. You can make an Erev Pesach with adverse conditions. You're bigger than you thought. If we accept every nesoyin as the Eibishta tapping us on the shoulder and saying, you could do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, you're bigger than you think. It's a whole different amunah. It's not an amunah that I'll survive the storm. It's an amunah that what the Eibishta is giving me is an opportunity to become bigger. And the Eibishta is also giving us that vote of confidence that we're able to become bigger. Often we'll meet a person, we'll encounter a person who's nebach, molei v'molei tzoris. And our response, which is the Yiddish response, is oy nebach, arachmonis. And of course, that's a beautiful response of b'mishtate b'tzar. Shal chaveiroi, noisei ba'olim chaveiroi. It's beautiful and hopefully that will get us interested in trying to help him. But I've seen other ways of responding to such a yid. I remember sitting in the Chabura by Meir Virabi or Chaim Rimzachar Levrocha, and one of those type of Yidden came in the middle and visited, in the middle of the Chabura, a person who was ready, apparent, that he suffered physically and emotionally. A real nebach, a real rachmonis. Chaim was very nice to him for a few minutes. And the yid left. He turned to us and he said, Gebakuk, azah bal yisurin. Look at this yid, such a bal yisurin. We should have all asked him for a bracha. Gedoyim, when they saw such a yid, it wasn't just rachmonis. Look at this yid. Look at how much nisyonis the Eibishter gives this yid. Look how much confidence the Eibishter has in the koichas of this yid. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this yid azoyfil nisyonis and still expects him to function, he's an Adam Gadol. Nem bayam a bracha. Go get a bracha from this yid. He's big. If he wouldn't be big, the Eibishter wouldn't be giving him these type of nisyonis. Look at how a yid looks at such a person. I'm reminded of an interaction I had with my rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Rocha and Mosin Svi. It turned out to be literally the last few months of his life. We didn't realize the Matzah Yeshiva was geferlach, literally financial collapse, and the Rosh Yeshiva was making these consecutive trips week after week to Chutz Laaretz, literally begging Klal Yisrael to keep the yeshiva afloat. It was physically and emotionally killing the Rosh Yeshiva Pshuta Kemashmoy. I had heard that he had just come back and then he was in a very bad way. Baruch Hashem, I had a kesher with him. I felt I'd go in, maybe try to be mechazik him a little bit, at least show my appreciation. But when I walked in, it was a different matziv. I saw him on the couch. He literally did not have koyach to lift a finger. He was finished. Instead of being mechazik him or showing my appreciation, I said, Rosh Yeshiva, I said, enough. We have to get you an apartment in Tzvas. You have to go away for 3 or 4 days. I said, you can't continue this way. You don't have koyach. You can't do this anymore. And suddenly he had a little bit of koyach. And he looked me in the eye and he says, Shmuley, he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in the Shvera Matziv, you know what he's telling me? That there's even yet more koyach inside of me that he wants to squeeze. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this Matziv. Look how a Godel looks at Nisyonis. Look how an Adam Godel takes an Nisyon, and instead of it breaking him, it invigorates him. If the Eibishter Gitmer noch a Nisyon, instead of collapsing from the Nisyon, Tzvas man de Karshmei, there's something more to do. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. Otherwise I wouldn't be in this Matzav. That's how Gedoylem look at Nisyonis. There are opportunities, but there are opportunities that come along with the confidence from the Eibishter. The Eibishter is tapping you on the back and saying, you can do it. You're bigger than you imagined. But Efshar Nocha Knech, another Nekuda about Nisyonis. Nisyonis, besides being an opportunity for growth, Nisyonis are sometimes our ticket to Hatzlocha. There's a Medrash. It's brought by the Rishonim. Avram Avinu meets Shem ben Noach. And he asked Shem ben Noach, "B'mazochiso, how are you zoicha to be saved from the Mabel?" And Shem ben Noach goes and says, "My schuskiyum, our schuskiyum, Noach Ubonov, was the 24/7 chesed that we did with the animals." Everyone knows how Chazal described what was going on over there. It was that chesed. That was our ticket. That was our schuskiyum to say be saved in the Mabel. And the Medrash brings that Avraham Avinu was so moved by the koyach of chesed that Mikoyach, this interaction, Vayital Eshob of Hasheva. He was so moved at the Koyach of Chesed, he made Chesed such a focus in his life. L'chayre, the Medrash is a Medrash clear. When Avram asked Shem ben Noach, how did he answer with such a clarkite? You know what saved me from the Mabel? It was the Chesed with the animals. What's Pshat? Maybe the reason he was saved was because Noach was Sadik. In fact, the Torah alone says that Oyskar Yisi was a tzaddik l'fanai b'dorazeh. How did he know this whole shtikul Torah? That it was the chesed with the animals that was his chuskiyum. I think the answer to the question might be is that when tzaddikim look at life, they look at life differently. Shem ben Noach had a greisa kasha. Shem ben Noach says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a teva for us to be saved. Why did he go and tell us to bring every single animal in the universe into a teva? The Ramban goes and says that required a nesh of a nisim. to be able to incorporate all of those animals in such a small place didn't make any sense. It was nisim b'teich nisim mamish. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? There wasn't another Eitzah to save the animal kingdom. He couldn't find some nature reserve with the Eibishter's Koiches to be able to do that. Shem ben Noach said, if the Eibishter gave us animals in the Teva, there's only one way to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. Because that's our ticket to our Soskim from the Mabul. If we get an Nisoyan and we get a Shverkite and something is thrown into our lap, there's only one way to understand it. That's our ticket for us being saved from the Mabul. There was a mice in Lodz in Poland. There was a great Kvutza of Ger Hasidim. And one of the Ger Hasidim was a landlord. He had a few deers. And the rent was literally his parnosa that he lived off. One of the deers was occupied by an almona. This almona, after a few years, or a few months, whatever the story was, wasn't able to pay rent anymore. Came the first of the month, she didn't come and pay. The next month, she didn't come and pay. Month after month, he started nudging the almona. She said, what do you want? I can't pay. Finally, after a full year, he went over to the almona. He said, I can't manage. I can't manage without this income. I need the parnasa. If you don't have the rent by the first of the month, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to find a different tenant. He made good on his promise. The first of his month, he evicted the almona into the street. The kvutza of his friends or fellow city members that were ger chasidim were livid. How do you do that? You evict an almona onto the street. They ran to their Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and they told him what happened. The Imre Emes waited for Yontiv when all the Hasidim come, and the Schasid went by, Geit Aduch, to say Yontiv. The Imre Emes points to him, stand on the side. The Imre Emes says, is it true what I heard? He said, yeah, Rebbe, it's true. I mean, but what do you want? I need my parnosa. I also need to live. The almona needs to live, I also need to live. If it's such a big mitzvah, Rebbe, so let all the Ger Hasidim in Lodz make a magbit, make an appeal, put the money together, and I'll be able to live and she'll be able to live. What's the taina on me? The Rebbe's gezocht, a sharfa polish of art. The Rebbe said there's a Mishnah in Gittin Daf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah says, you have a chatzi Eved and a chatzi Ben Choyrin. He's half an Eved, he's half a Ben Choyrin. The Mishnah says he's in a matzah that he can't get married. He can't marry a Shifka because he's half a Ben Choyrin. He can't marry a Bas Yisrael because he's a Chatzi Yevet. He's stuck. He can't get married. He can't move on in life. He can't build a family. Koyfin es Rabbi l'shacharoi. You tell the Odoin, here's a Nebach, here's a Shvera Matziv, be Meshacher him. We force an Odoin to be Meshacher the Eved. He's losing. He's losing tremendously, financially. Teretz is, Abra, he's a Nebach. Why can't the other go and say, he's a Nebach, but why is it my problem? He's a Nebach, so nu, make an appeal in town and get everyone to pump together and pay for this Eved, and then I won't lose. Why is it my problem? So, Imre Emes, state that if this fell into your lap, it's your ticket. It's your mitzvah. It's your achrayis. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Nisoyin, and gave you the situation, gave you the Almona, gave you the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choyrin, it's not Stam and Nisoyin, it's divinely orchestrated for you, because this is your ticket. This is not Stam and Nisoyin, this is your opportunity. There's nothing that's perchance in the world. What an Armuna is supposed to tell us, is that if we got the Nisoyin, it's not just tailor-made for my Koiches to Shtag. It's tailor-made that this is my Mafteach, to my atzlocha. This is my ticket to being able to get what I need. Efshein lets the knech. Sometimes we get nisyonos that are not just big and not just tough to handle. We get nisyonos that seem to be counterproductive, counterintuitive. We'll paint a picture. Parents have a teenage bocher that slowly but surely, after 2 or 3 years, totally loses himself in Gansen and Yiddishkeit. Mamish, sleepless nights. And finally, there's a ray of hope. And a certain yeshiva opens up in town. And it's a yeshiva that caters for these type of bachrim. And it starts. And after a week and a half, we have a bocher that wasn't keeping Shabbos, and he's learning one Seder a day. It went from sleepless nights to parents not knowing what to do with themselves out of excitement for this yeshiva. And then a week and a half into the yeshiva building burns down. Parents are sitting there and saying, Eibishter, what now? This doesn't make any sense. We finally got him going. We finally had Hatzlocha from. We finally found the yeshiva. And you burn the yeshiva down. What could be pshat in that? It's counterintuitive. It's counterproductive. That's an asoyin. That's an opportunity for growth. That's my ticket. I'm going to gain through that. Sotish kipshat. What is our amuna supposed to say? Rabbi said there's an akedas yitzchok. There's an akedas yitzchok of Avraham Avinu who waited nearly a century not just to have a child but to have a hemshech for Klal Yisrael. He got a haftocha, ki be Yitzchak, ki kor lechozera. He got a haftocha, this is your ticket, Yitzchak Avinu. This is your nitzchias, this is Klal Yisrael. And then shortly thereafter comes Eibishter, v'haleu lo'oilo. How could it be? Rashi already brings a Hurei Dvorim. How could it be? How could it be? You go and you're maftiach me, Yitzchak's my ticket, and then you go and tell me, v'haleu lo'oilo. It's counterintuitive, it's counterproductive. How does one maintain an amunah in such a zach? So the Heilig Arachayim HaKadosh, a dover mavil from the Zohar. The Arachayim HaKadosh brings from the Zohar that Yitzchak Avinu was born with an ishmosa de nukva. He was born with a shayrish and a shama that was in a keva. A shayrish and a shama in a keva that would not be able to physically, spiritually father a child. It's true. Kibi Yitzchak Yikar Lechazera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maftiach to him that Yitzchak was going to be his ticket. But the MS is that Yitzchak in his matzah, the way he was born without the koiches to father a child, and there would be no Klal Yisrael. What happened? What changed? So to Arachayim HaKadosh, in the Maisa of the Akedah, in the Vahaleu La'ilo, in the Ephraim Munach, Agav HaMizbeach, there was a Porcha Nishmosei that occurred at the Akedah. And in that Porcha Nishmosa, what happened to Yitzchak Avinu is that there was a switch in his Sherish and Neshama. And he went from a Nishmosa de Nukva to a Nishmosa de Duchra, who had the capabilities of fathering a child. Rabbi Sai, we could sit and we could ask. You told me, Kibi Yitzchak Chodak HaZer, and then you tell me, Ba'alei Lo'ilo. And Aliba de Emes, what was happening over here was, is that he was literally creating his Nitzchias by doing v'haleu lo'ila, by listening to the Eibishter's Nisoyin and going weiter with the Nisoyin, he was not destroying his Nitzchias, he was creating his Nitzchias. When we're given a Nisoyin, our Amunah has to be that this Nisoyin is literally our ticket. The Chafetz Chaim brings numerous places, a Zohar Daksim in Parshas Vayakel, that talks about the Miskena, the Nebach, the Nawelch comes to your door, and it calls that Nebach your Matono. It's an opportunity for growth. Why is it a matono? A ramuna in nisyonis is that when the Eibishter deals us in a soin, he's giving us a present. He's giving us a ticket to our hatzlocha, not just an opportunity to growth, over mamish, a matono, to be able to get to where we need to get to. Baruch Hashem, we're maminim b'nei maminim. On a regular basis, we get a shuckle, we get a pinch. But Baruch Hashem, we don't chas v'sholem challenge the Eibishter. But imagine if our amunah didn't just stop us from challenging the Eibishter. Imagine if our amunah would go and say that if I'm getting that pinch, if I'm getting that shuckle, it's the Eibishter knocking on my door and saying, you're bigger than you thought. You have koiches. You could do it. Imagine if we had that knock on the door and saying, this is your ticket. This almana that just became a fresh almana next door to you, that's your ticket. If a mekubal told it to us, we wouldn't know what to do first. Why can't our amunah tell it to us? Why can't our amunah tell us the Imri Emes's word that if this fell in your lap, this is your ticket, it's no one else's ticket? If we are able to, when we read through the parshias, internalize this yisoid, Yitein Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the moyach and the koyach to be able to internalize this idea. And Ebezoi, when we'll go through life, whether it's smallness, yainis, bigness, yainis, we'll have the same attitude. It's the Eibishter knocking on our door and saying, this is an opportunity for growth, and it's about a confidence in the Eibishter that you could do it and you could grow. It's not just that, it's your ticket to your Gansatz Locha.